This is the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast, sponsored by Visit Bemidji. Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors covers the lakes, woods, trails, wildlife, and anything else going on outdoors in Paul Bunyan's playground. Well, today on Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, we get to talk with Mike Ehler. He's the area wildlife supervisor out of the Fergus Falls office and has quite an area that he covers. First of all, Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate the opportunity to share some information today with your listeners.
The show has been on the air for a long time. We've been primarily a Bemidji-oriented show for most of it. The last year, though, we expanded into the Brainerd market and also now into the Alexandria area. And I think, Mike, for me, one of the cool things is this opportunity to talk with people from other areas and learn a lot about what's going on in other parts of the state. And your part of the state is certainly one of them. For those of us up in this neck of the woods, describe the area you and your crew cover.
Sure. So a lot of this work area, again, these seven counties that Otter Tail, Wilkin, and then the quad counties in Traverse, we got a lot of different habitat. We got farmland, you know, on our western edge, and then we grade into going to the east and to the northeast, what we call a transition zone. So that's your forested and some farmland too mixed. So we got a lot of really good habitat in that part of the world, and a lot of the lakes, as you know, in the Alex area and the Otter Tail County area. So real diverse habitat, make up real diverse wildlife, you know, species as well. So kind of a neat area, really neat area.
Yeah, very cool. And of course, obviously, when it comes to, you know, deer, for example, they love egg.
They do. And you know, if you look in the dictionary for deer, excellent deer habitat, it would say like see Eastern Pope County or Eastern Otter Tail County. I mean, that's the quintessential mix of agriculture, woods, swampland. It's deer heaven.
Absolutely.
Good deer numbers.
And we're going to talk all about that, but as we, again, take a look at your area, kind of the overview, Mike, you know, what are the types of species that are very prevalent there? What are some of the things you have down there we probably don't have up here?
Sure. So we already kind of touched a little bit. You know, deer certainly is one of our premier. You know, the ones we don't have that, you know, you do have more of, you know, up in the forested regions is some, you know, rough grouse and things like that. But our big ones down here in this area in that transition zone is deer and wild turkeys, of course, some of the hunted species. And then as you go west, of course, we get into our pheasant range. And then prairie chickens up in the northern part, in Otter Tail County, western, and Wilkin County, you know, we have prairie chickens. So, again, I forgot the prairie chicken side of things, but that's, again, another really unique species that we have in his work area. So, yeah, it's an exciting area to work in and for people to certainly recreate in.
So what exactly is a prairie chicken, and why do I want to hunt them?
Well, a prairie chicken is it's pretty much a prairie obligate species. In other words, it needs to have prairie to, you know, survive. But they did sort of move to the north, and you know, 100 years ago, as farms, you know, sort of progressed to the north when these things were homesteaded, and they're just a neat bird. They're somewhat on the rare side, you know, so they're not it's limited tags. But we're still relatively easy to get a tag. You can, every couple of years, if you apply, you'll get a license, and they're like hunting a rough grouse, tastes like a chicken, you like they say, you know. So really neat experience.
How many people from out of the area come in to go after the prairie chicken?
They're mostly resident folks.
Okay.
Again, it's a limited number of tags, and in my work area, we don't have that many tags. We have more as we go north up into Clay County, then up into Manoman and Norman counties. So that's more of the stronghold for prairie chickens. We're kind of on the edge there, Kevin, of that range, but we still have opportunities.
I'm assuming you get a few out-of-towners coming in for pheasant, though.
Oh, we do. And as you know, that opened up last weekend, and from my own personal experiences and reports that I've got, you know, people were finding birds. But the biggest challenge, of course, is, you know, habitat or places to go are limited, you know, unless you own private land. So, you know, scouting and finding a place where other people, you know, weren't already there paid off, but people did real well with pheasants from what I've heard reports. So that was good.
Well, of course, you know, deer are the walleye of the wildlife world, right? I mean,
absolutely, absolutely, Kevin. Yep.
And you've got plenty of them there, it sounds like.
Yeah, we do. We do. And that's, you know, deer management really is a lot of people management as well. In fact, a lot of wildlife management is managing people and expectations and tolerance for wildlife. You know, deer are certainly fun to recreate and you know, pursue with a rifle or archery or whatever. But if you're a landowner, you know, a producer and stuff, they're a challenge to also have in your crops and things like that. So we have a lot of balancing with species like that.
What would you say is, I mean, are there any differences to deer regulations there than there are in other parts of the state, or are you pretty standard?
Well, I mean, we look at each DPA or deer permit area, you know, individually, and, you know, we look at harvest and things like that, and so that's how we guide our management or harvest strategies. And so this area, as I mentioned early in your interview here, is that, you know, we are a deer-rich area in this transition zone, which includes, you know, some of the my newer work area down towards Alec. And so we have pretty liberal regulations in order to keep those populations in check. You know, we go through a public process to garner input on what people would like to see for deer numbers and things like that. And most of our units in that transition, we're in a trying to reduce, you know, up to at least 25%. So we're certainly actively pursuing hunters and getting folks out there to help us harvest deer and manage them.
What are you hearing from the hunters? Are they looking for, you know, good deer for the freezer? Do they want the 30-point buck? What do they want?
Well, it's a variety, Kevin. You know, I mean, it's like anything in the world. There's a lot of people that love nothing more than just to eat venison, and they're happy with, you know, filling the freezer with a bunch of does or whatever. And then there's people that are pretty selective. So really, it is a variety. A lot of the folks, you know, that buy hunting land, you know, they can be more selective. So they maybe are more after trophy animals, and you know, those that maybe hunt public or kind of whatever comes by is what's going to end up getting, you know, harvested. So yeah, it is a variety. It's hard to pinpoint one or the other.
With that perfect storm of environment that they have down there, do you find that they're bigger, healthier than deer in other parts of the state?
Well, you know, they're definitely healthy. I mean, if you look at things like fat indices and stuff like that, they're definitely when you have crops and acorns, you know, on good crop years like that, when you have good mast, I mean, deer do very well. They put on fat, they survive well, so therefore their offspring survive well the next year, and it just makes for a healthy population, as opposed to some of the northern herds that have less forage. Everything is forage driven.
Yeah, that's a fact. And we do have some ag here, but certainly, you know, not like you're part of the state. And sure. there've been some tough years. You know, you get high snows, and it can get tough up here.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, Kevin, we don't get as often down here, is we don't get the winter severity index, you know, as high as you do up north. You know, we start seeing that over 100. That's when we start, you know, being concerned about winter survival and things like that. So we generally don't see what you do up in the Bemidji and further parts north occurs.
So let's talk a little bit about something that's been a big deal, certainly in two of the areas I cover. Brainerd is in, I think, the fifth year of being very, very vigilant in chronic wasting disease. And
sure.
we are starting that process up in Beltrami County, as I think most people know by now. What about your part of the state? Has CWD been found there, or have you been okay so far?
Well, we have two DPAs or deer permit areas in my work area that are under a surveillance, and that means that CWD has been found, but only in a domestic deer herd or a farm deer herd. So it hasn't been found in the wild. So at that level, based on our CWD statewide management plan, we go into what's called a surveillance mode, and so we'll monitor, test deer for 3 years, and if we don't find CWD, then we can go back to just business as usual. But we are, right now, we are in the middle of our second year of sampling hunter-killed deer for CWD, so it's hopefully we don't find it in those wild deer.
Yeah, so far so good, huh?
Yeah, well, so far so good, and hunters, you know, we're really encouraging people to, It's voluntary submission for samples. Usually it's mandatory, but because of the COVID pandemic, we went to a different model for this 273 and 213 deer permit areas. So it's voluntary at this point, and our participation is a little less than we'd like to see, Kevin. So I am urging hunters out there, if we don't get adequate samples, we may have to go to a mandatory, which is a little more intrusive for folks, a little more work for us, of course. And so we sure would like to see participation, and let's, you know, just all kind of lean into this together and try to get the samples we need.
You know, just personal opinion here. I know that everybody says there's no evidence that, you know, if you eat a CWD deer, there's a problem to you.
Sure.
I still, you know, I just want to make sure anyway.
You know, as an agency, of course, I mean, that is the science. The science, you know, supports your statement, you know, that there isn't a connection between that cervid variant, you know, and the human variant. But still, we do recommend that, you know, if you have a diseased animal that you know, you need to certainly think about it, but we don't recommend eating, you know, diseased deer.
Yeah.
It's just it's a personal preference. Most folks, if they had a positive deer, they would certainly not consume it, and we support that.
And you know more about this than I do. My understanding, though, is outside of that southeastern part of the state, the only CWD deers we found in other parts of the state have been via the deer farm, correct?
Yeah, most of them. Some of them have, as in your Beltrami case, you know, that was carcasses that were dumped, you know, outside of a deer farm. And so there's some nuances, and some of them I don't, without some of the details, I don't want to speak too much to them. But in general, that southeast is where we have the CWD, you know, endemic, or we have, you know, in the wild deer population. And that, Kevin, of course, that's what we're trying to avoid here, you know, with this surveillance program, so that we can understand how aggressive we do need to be with a harvest to try to manage this, because this is it's a deer, a big resource and enjoyed by many, and have a big economic impact, frankly, too, you know, to a lot of areas, a lot of these rural areas. So we certainly want to protect that that resource.
You haven't had to put a ban on feeding deer at this point, though.
There are bans. Correct.
Oh, there are.
No, there are bans. In fact, yeah. Depending on, again, what type of CWD occurrence, whether it was, you know, localized in a deer farm or out in the wild. But yeah, we currently have feeding bans in Pope and Douglas counties. So Douglas was where we had the positive in a deer farm. So feeding includes anything that has grain or fruit, anything of a nutritive value. You know, so if you have a salt block that has nutrients in it as well, that's considered feed. So we have in Todd County, adjacent to the east of Pope there, we also have a feeding and attract and ban. So we go by adjacent counties as well. We're just trying to limit that concentration of deer. That's where we get into trouble. Yeah, so folks really need to look closely at their area for those things and make sure they don't get you know, in trouble with the conservation officer.
Let's talk a little bit about what you're anticipating for the fall season. It sounds like you feel you've got a pretty healthy herd down there, so should be a pretty good deer season, I would think.
It should, and the big thing, Kevin, that's going to play into that, and this, you know, this is partially as a result of the drought. You know, the drought resulted in crops being, you know, mature enough to take early on. You know, in fact, a lot of guys are having corn that was too dry this year. But so anyways, usually we end up with a much better harvest when crops are off before the deer season, because, you know, deer are using that as habitat as well, cover. Crops are gone, then they're concentrated more into some of these, you know, limited pockets of habitat. So that will certainly make a difference on our deer harvest, and I'm sure it'll be reflected. Yeah.
Mike Ehler is my guest. He's the area wildlife supervisor out of the Fergus Falls office, covering that area, Ottertail, Alexandria as well. A lot more wildlife stuff to talk with Mike next on the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Beardsley with Dick Beardsley Fishing Guide Service. Are you looking to plan a fishing trip? Look no further, as Bemidji, Minnesota is your year-round destination for walleyes, pike, muskie, bass, perch, crappie, panfish, and more. With over 400 fishing lakes within a 25-mile radius of Bemidji, come take a cast at becoming a fishing legend. While you're on your fishing adventure, come take a picture with the historic Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox. Discover the first city on the Mississippi, Bemidji, one step further.
This is the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast. My guest today, Area Wildlife Supervisor Mike Ayler out of the Fergus Falls office, which covers that area, Otter Tail, and the Alexandria area as well. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other things that a lot of people are interested in. What about waterfowl in your area?
Well, unfortunately, waterfowl, I mean, the drought affected them as well.
Oh, yeah. Course.
You know, I mean, ducks sort of prefer water. You know, they don't nest in it, but they certainly like it for refuge and roosting and things. So, yeah, waterfowl hunting has been, you know, in the four-letter word would be poor, I guess. You know, it's been poor. Spotty, there's always people that do well, but you know, birds are starting to show up a little bit. A lot of the locals are already gone, so, you know, that definitely... Yeah, it hasn't been a banner year except for goose hunting's been good throughout my work area and, or, you know, the Otter Tail County down into the Quad Counties. But drought, actually, believe it or not, Kevin, is very helpful for waterfowl in one way, and that's in terms of wetlands. Wetlands do need to have some drawdown or drying period occasionally to help, you know, remove some of the suspended solids and stuff like that in the water and consolidate the sediments and clear up the water and makes for a lot better forage, you know, in the years after. So it has benefits too.
Okay. Yeah, it's been a unique year, certainly on the fishing side of things, wetland side of things. I don't know how much bear hunting you have down there, but it certainly affected the bear hunting up here because there wasn't much edibles growing in the woods this year.
No, we actually are in a no quota zone, but we do harvest a fair number of bears here, but it's certainly not you know, ground zero or a destination for most bear hunters. But yeah, down in the Alexandria area, we even harvested bears down there this year, which is, you know, 10, 20 years ago would have been out of the question. Bears have just been moving a little bit more and more, seems like.
Well, I'm assuming you do pretty well in the wild turkey world. We've even got them up here now.
We do, Kevin, yeah. And that's another kind of unique opportunity. I guess I failed to mention, or if I did, I glossed over it. But, you know, we do have a fall turkey season. And, you know, a lot of folks don't participate in that, but those that do enjoy it, spring is usually that's sort of the highlight for turkey hunters. But yeah, we do real well with turkeys in that entire transition zone, and they're moving out onto the farmland and prairies, and they're to be found in a lot of the homesteads and little pockets of riverine areas and things like that too. So yeah, they're a neat critter to chase as well.
They have gotten to be really, really popular up here,
yeah.
And I think actually the spring portion, just because it's rare to have a spring hunting season.
It is, and they get a cult-like following.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are turkey hunters, and you know, if you remember 30 or 40 years ago in Minnesota when the only turkey hunting was, you know, down around the cities and stuff, Whitewater and things like that, you know, I mean, it was a big deal when turkeys started moving north and, you know, you'd get drawn for a license. It was a big deal. Well, now we've moved to, you know, we're to an over-the-counter type of situation and less restrictive, and so lots of opportunity for spring turkey hunting if people want to participate in that. So that's exciting.
But go back to one of the things we talked about early, prairie chickens. So when is the prairie chicken season?
That has already taken place.
Okay.
And let's see, last week, darn it, that's a good question. as far as the exact dates, yeah, September 25th through October 3rd was that season. So that's already occurred, and we'll be getting cards back, harvest cards here soon, and then we'll, you know, find out what the harvest is. But generally, they do pretty well. They do pretty well. You know, it's around 50% or better, you know, hunter success, and they get a license for two birds, so an individual can, you know, shoot two birds. And A lot of reoccurring folks, though. The ones that go, you know, it's just a few hundred people that go, and a lot of them like to do it again and again and again. So
it is so tough in the fall because there's a ton of hunting seasons.
Too many things.
It's the best fishing season.
Yeah.
School kicks in, you know, if you got kids and they're playing sports. I mean, how do you – it's hard to find time to do everything.
How do you fit it in? And, you know, that raises a really, really good really good point, I guess, is that, you know, right now we're in MEA, or today, I believe, Friday, you know, yesterday and today are MEA weekend, and that is one of our peak uses of a lot of the resources out here. I mean, we get a lot of these folks that take the days off, and the kids have the days off, and so it's we have early antlerless youth season, you know, this weekend. A lot of waterfowl hunting, pheasant season is open, so it's a huge, huge weekend for people to be out there recreating.
Yeah, I've seen a few youth deer hunt pictures posted already on social media, so it's happening.
Yep. It's happening. It's exciting.
I think that's a great deal for especially, you know, if it's your first or second time to go deer hunting, that it's kind of concentrated on youth and it's not quite as intense as it might be. And I just think it's a great idea.
Yep. Yeah, it is. It is. And, of course, it's part of our triple R, you know, our recruitment, retention, and you know, reactivation of hunters, you know, just in an effort to, you know, we need their support. We need their help for managing a lot of these wildlife populations, because we need to be aware of producers and other folks out there that maybe don't enjoy them as much. So, you know, we need sportsmen to help out for sure.
Absolutely. You know, I talked quite a bit with people in this area the last couple of years, and actually heard statewide as well that, you know, fishing licenses were up, hunting licenses were up, a lot of that due to something to do during COVID. Did you find that down there as well?
Yeah. And a lot of the statistics, actually, Kevin, are kind of on more on a statewide basis. You know, we don't have them quantified down to the county level and things like that. But yeah, in general, the fishing licenses went up quite a bit. Deer hunting kind of lags a little bit. That is sort of on a little downward trajectory, you know, and we have concerns there. But in general, people, I guess, had more time to recreate. So instead of doing other things, like those day jobs and all those pesky things that get in the way. It was great.
And you just hope that that they had a positive experience and that it kind of carries over.
Yep, and that's, you know, that's really the goal of area wildlife offices, supervisors, and things like that. I mean, the big thing that we provide, or that we, you know, put front and center, is providing good habitat on, you know, management areas that we you know, purchase and things like that. And just a place for people to go that don't, a lot of people don't own property. You know, they don't own tracts of their own hunting land. So these are jewels that we own, as that we have these little yellow signs on out there. And they're so important to provide to the public, you know, as a place to go.
I think that one of the things about living in Minnesota is, even if you aren't into hunting and fishing, you know, you like deer coming through your yard, and you like seeing ducks on the water, and you like hearing the loons call. That's all part of the ambiance of living here, even if you're not into the hunting, you know, or fishing aspect of it. And that's again, where you guys come in, and where another aspect of wildlife, and that's non-game wildlife, is a very big part of.
Absolutely. You know, and we do, one of the big roles that we play in a lot of this farmland where we have a lot of our wildlife management areas is actually habitat restoration. You know, we buy parcels, and a lot of it goes back into prairie, and prairie is one of our rare habitats, and, you know, we put that all back into, you know, some pretty rich in terms of flowers and forbs and cover, and that does a lot for pollinators, which does a lot for upland birds, for passerines. It's just the whole mix comes together, you know, when you have good habitat. And so, yeah, it's important for all game and non-game.
I can really go down the rabbit hole. I'm not a scientist, but I find the whole aspect of ecosystems so fascinating, how interdependent everything is. And I could spend, you know, I could probably do an hour and a half on this. It's incredible. And a lot of the things you guys do, I've talked to guys up here about this. If you're in the business you're in, you are not in the business for instant gratification, because the way you have to develop things, you have to be very patient.
Yeah, and you got to understand that, you know, the habitats that we're trying to restore and things, you know, they took thousands of years to develop into this symbiotic system that they are, and then all of a sudden, you know, we showed up on the scene, and we utilize things and change things. And so to take a piece of farm ground that, you know, to restore it back to what it had been for thousands of years, it's not an instantaneous deal. It takes years, and but we're doing a good job, I think, with it. We do a really good job with it, and, you know, it, again, provides a place for people and wildlife.
Well, Mike, again, we could talk forever. I could,
sure,
anyway.
We could. I could, too. I could, too, Kevin.
Let's take an overall view of your area. Give me a letter grade, if you're a teacher, of where you're at, in your opinion.
In terms of habitat and things like that?
Yeah.
Well, I think we're in a good, strong upper B category. You know, things are good. The drought, of course, you know, impacted the amount of vegetation growth and things like that, you know. So, yeah, it's a little sparser and stuff. But in general, we picked up some good rains later in the, you know, later this summer, early fall, really benefited things. Waterfall, the wetlands filled up a little bit again. And, I mean, things are generally looking pretty good. You know, again, it's all about habitat. You mentioned the ecology. It's all about habitat. We don't have habitat. We don't have wildlife, you know. So, but I think we're doing pretty good.
We talked about you guys keeping an eye on CWD like so many of us are doing. Other than that, anything concerning in your area right now?
You know, not in particular. Other than, you know, habitat, yeah, that's, you know, again, we're at the whims of weather and stuff in a lot of those cases. CWD staffing, you know, we're kind of looking to different models for just, you know, the people that manage those resources. You know, so we have been sort of in a reduced staffing mode, and that's a concern, because less people you got to manage things, you know, more of a challenge. So that's definitely an issue.
Okay.
But we manage. We tend to pull together.
Well, I can relate to that. We'd like a few more people here too. You know,
absolutely. Yeah, you know, we do what we can do. That's what we do.
Absolutely. Well, he's Mike Ehler. He is the Area Wildlife Supervisor out of the Fergus Falls office, which again covers the Quad Counties, Pope, and is it Otter Tail as well?
Otter Tail, Wilkin, the Quad Counties, and Traverse, so seven counties.
Okay. It's a pretty big area.
It's the biggest one in the state, actually, right now, as far as area of the county. So, yeah, we're and again, you know, I didn't hit it. We do have the office in Glenwood with a wildlife representative down there for folks that are in that Alex area, and they can contact Jason down there, myself here, you know, for any questions. The phone line is always open, and the door as well.
He's Mike Ehler. He was gracious with his time today. Love talking about that area of the state. Thank you for enlightening us and teaching us a little bit about what's going on down there.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Kevin. Appreciate the opportunity.
You've been listening to the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast, sponsored by Visit Bemidji. You can catch the radio show Saturdays on KBUN Sports Radio 104.5 in Bemidji, B93.3 in Brainerd, and Kick FM in Alexandria. And of course, multiple times a week, we'll have great stuff for you right here on the podcast.